From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's join together in a word of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we approach thee in our Saviour's precious and holy name. We come to seek thy face today as we come around thy precious word. We thank thee for it. We thank thee, Lord, it is a living word from a living God. Thank thee, Lord, this word changes lives. And we pray today as the preacher will preach from this pulpit, we ask you, Lord, you fill him with thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, he will know great help from heaven. We ask thee, Lord, that the words he speaks will find a resting place in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, please watch over us, we pray, as we meet to worship thee. In our Saviour's precious and holy name, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to read from God's precious word. We're turning to Acts chapter 16, commencing to read at verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. At this point in our service, we're going to worship the Lord again with that beautiful hymn, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There.
Thank you. Folks, it is a great privilege to be with you today, and we do pray that as we turn to God's precious word, that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. And especially if you're found here today listening to God's truth, if you're not saved, our prayer is that you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The text of scripture that I want to leave with you today is found in Acts chapter 16. It's a very familiar text of scripture. We read at the end of verse 30 and the beginning of verse 31 these words, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Let's have a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider his word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. And we thank thee for the gift of God, which is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee for the one who laid down his life a ransom for the many, the one who shed his precious blood in order to redeem us from our sins and save us from all eternity. Oh God, we pray just now as we turn to the sacred page that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. And our earnest prayer is that man would be hid far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it's in his precious name we ask it. Amen. The greatest possession that anyone can possess is God's wonderful salvation. You can be rich, you can be popular, you can have all the worldly goods that this world has to offer. But if you're not saved, if you've never experienced God's salvation, then you're nothing but a beggar. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So I say again, the greatest possession that you and I can possess is God's wonderful salvation. But how can we possess God's salvation? And what does it mean to possess God's salvation? Well, the answer to these questions and many others are found in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, our text for today. Very simply, I want to draw your attention to this text, and I want us to consider God's wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. And let me say again, if you're found here, not saved, not born again of the Spirit of God, my prayer is that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus even today. First of all, I want you to notice the necessity of God's salvation. Look with me at verse 30. In verse 30, the jailer asks the question, "What must I do to be saved?" By asking this question, the jailer was indicating his need of salvation. He was indicating that he needed God's wonderful redemption. I wonder, have you ever realized your need of God's eternal salvation? Why is God's salvation a necessity? Well, let me give you two reasons. First of all, God's salvation is a necessity because without God's salvation, you will never enter God's heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And the truth is this. When we turn to the precious Word of God, the Word of God teaches us clearly, yet very simply, that unless the sinner has received God's wonderful salvation, they will never enter into heaven. There's a wonderful text of Scripture. It's found in Revelation 21, verse 27. And this is what it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth." Heaven is only for those who have had their sins forgiven and who are born again of the Spirit of God. I wonder, are you born again of the Spirit of God? If you're ever going to enter heaven, then you need God's wonderful eternal salvation. But there's another reason why God's salvation is a necessity. God's salvation is a necessity because without God's salvation, you will never escape hell. Now, I know in this 21st century, many people do not believe in the reality of hell. And yet when we turn to the Word of God, again, the Bible reveals unto us, teaches us very clearly that hell is a reality. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And in Luke chapter 16, we read of a rich man who died without God's salvation. And in verses 22 and 23, it says, "And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments." What a solemn truth. And yet, it is a truth that is clearly taught in the Word of God. My friend, you need God's salvation today, because without it, you will never escape the flames of hell. Therefore, I pray that as you listen to God's Word, that the Lord will speak to your heart and draw you lovingly and tenderly to the foot of the cross. And even this day, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So we have the necessity of God's salvation. The jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And in saying that, he was indicating very clearly that he needed God's eternal redemption. But I want you to notice, secondly, the simplicity of God's salvation. Look with me at verse 31, a very familiar text. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Here we have the simplicity of God's salvation. How can a sinner be saved? How can a sinner receive God's wonderful salvation? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, that there is faith involved here. Believe. Notice, secondly, that our faith should be placed in Christ and Christ alone, because the text says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Our faith is not to be in the church. Our faith is not to be in the sacraments of the church. Our faith is not to be in our own good works. Our faith is to be in the person and the work of Jesus Christ and him alone. Only faith in Christ can save the soul. There's a wonderful text of Scripture in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Here we have Peter, and this is what Peter says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And of course, that day Peter was pointing his congregation to Christ, and he was pointing out very clearly that the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone was the only source of eternal salvation and eternal redemption. The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote the words, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And thank God he will save you now. If you come in childlike faith and put your trust in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." What a wonderful message we have to declare, the wonderful message of the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And thank God you can have everlasting life this very moment if you would but by faith and in repentance fall at the cross of Christ and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. I pray that you'll do that even today. But notice something else here about God's wonderful salvation. Not only the necessity of it and the simplicity of it, but take a look again at verse 31, and you'll notice the reality of God's salvation. It says in verse 31 of Acts chapter 16, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It doesn't say you might be saved. It says that you will be saved. The reality of God's salvation can be seen in the life of the Philippian jailer, in that his life was changed. His life was transformed by the power of God. The moment he trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, his life was changed. It was changed in two ways. First of all, his life was changed inwardly. Take a look with me there at verse 34. Verse 34 says that after the jailer was converted, that he rejoiced, believing in God. In other words, he was born from above. The Holy Spirit had entered into his life, and he was now a child of God. His sins were forgiven, and he was on his way to heaven, and he knew it. And he was rejoicing because of his new life in Christ. God's salvation begins in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And here we have a wonderful example of a conversion in the Bible, where the sinner comes in simple faith and trusts the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and his life is transformed. And the moment, the very second he is saved, he's rejoicing in God his Savior. What a wonderful story we have here. But notice something else. Notice that his life was not only changed inwardly, but his life was changed outwardly. Look at verse 33 and 34. Underline these words. And he took them the same hour of the night. That was the jailer. He took Paul and Silas and washed their stripes and was baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Here was an individual, and because of the inward change in his heart that was wrought by the Holy Spirit, his life was changed outwardly. Now, if you're familiar with the story, and I'm sure you are, you will know at the beginning of the story, the jailer was taking Paul and Silas, and he was whipping them. He was casting them into the inner prison. He was putting their feet fast in the stocks. He was an ungodly man. He had no time for the gospel, and he had no time for the servants of God. He was manhandling them. But now things are different. There's a change has taken place. He now takes them out of the prison cell. He brings them into his own house. He washes their stripes. He sets meat before them. Why this change? Well, this is the change that conversion brings to the vilest sinner. And this Philippian jailer was a vile sinner. But you can see the transformation that has taken place in his life. And of course, don't miss there in verse 33 that he was baptized. And baptism is an outward showing of an inward work that has been done in the heart. The Bible says this, men and women, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And what the Lord has done for this Philippian jailer, the Lord can do for you, no matter who you are, no matter how far down the road of iniquity you may have traveled, no matter what your sin is. Thank God, if you, as the sinner, would come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today, repenting of your sin, turning away from your sin, he would change your life, and he would change it for all eternity. But notice something else here. Notice the urgency of God's salvation. It's interesting to note here that Paul and Silas told the jailer there and then how to be saved. Immediately, the jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? The preachers stepped forward and told the sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, Paul and Silas, they could have said to the jailer, well, there's no rush on this matter. Leave it until another time. We'll speak to you again about these things. But they didn't do that because the preachers realized that salvation was an urgent matter. And that's why there and then they impressed upon the Philippian jailer, believe. Believe now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you'll notice that the jailer did not wait until another time to get saved. The Bible tells us here that he got saved immediately. He could have said to Paul and Silas, I'll wait until another convenient season. I'll wait until you're back in Philippi again and we'll meet up and you can explain to me more fully the way of salvation. No, you see, this jailer recognized that God's salvation was an urgent matter. And that's why there and then he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" My friend, salvation is an urgent matter. We should never put it off, and you should never put it off. The Bible tells us, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, I pray that if the Lord is speaking to your heart, that you will turn to him now and accept him as your own and personal Savior. There's no greater joy than to know sins forgiven. There's no greater joy than to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you're going to heaven, that you'll never be in hell, and that someday you're going to spend eternity in the glory. No greater joy. My friend, do you have that joy today? Do you know the peace of God that passeth all understanding? If you don't, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and saved today. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the simplicity of the Word of God and the message of the gospel. And oh God, we just pray that you would be pleased, Lord, to save precious souls. We thank thee, Lord, for those that you have saved, even in this service today. And we pray, oh God, that in the days that lie ahead, that you would send us a breath of revival. And oh God, that there might be many swept into the kingdom of God. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.